Solomon's songs has been preserved to us. Some of the Psalms, it's doubtful whether Solomon wrote them or they have been written for Solomon. Solomon is mentioned in a couple of the Psalms. But to my knowledge, this is the only one that the Spirit of God has preserved for us. And the Spirit of God himself has given this song the title, The Song of Songs. It's the song of all songs. So we read in the first verse, The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. We don't go very far before we find it's a love song. Verse 2 says, Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. And then in verse 3, Because of the savour of thy good ointments, thy name is an ointment poured forth, therefore do the virgins love thee. Our beloved is the one of the many, many names. All the names that ascribe to God, ascribe to our Lord Jesus Christ, our beloved. In verse 4, it says, Draw me. This is in the singular here. Draw me. And I believe that the Spirit of God wants us to take up the Song of Songs, not in the way of doctrine, but with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to seek to tell forth what the Spirit of God has brought before us of our beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw me. And then the next word is in the plural. We will run after thee. We will run after thee. So we find that we all have our place in this. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. There we have the singular, but it includes us all. But we're all running after our beloved. And so we all have our experience through the Song of Song. It's a book of experience. And as we go on with the Lord Jesus, we really go on farther in this song. We come to know him more. And so we move further on in the song. So draw me, we will run after thee. Well, I want to take up the portion that I want from the fifth chapter. I know that you've heard ministry on this Song of Songs many times. I've heard it here myself. But I do think it's one of the neglected books of ministry as I've moved around. And we'll read from verse 8 in chapter 5. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick with love. Love sick. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. His body is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? My beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. In this first verse, we find that his love, for that's the way he speaks of us in this song, speaks to us all individually, my love, my love. She says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He calls her his love. But she's lost contact with him. There came a time in her experience when the things, the precious things he gave to her, became to mean more to her at the moment than himself, and she lost contact with him. And now she's seeking him. And she comes to the daughters of Jerusalem and says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am lovesick. And they said, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? Here they call her the fairest among women. What a precious thing to think, that we individually are that, the fairest among women, the church. Of course, we all are members of his body, all members of the church, and looked upon here as the fairest among women. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that we, thou dost so charge us? And then she takes up to tell them what her beloved is like. She says, my beloved is white. My beloved is white. If we were to turn to Revelation chapter 4, we would see there the 24 elders clothed in white robes. In chapter 6, the apostle John is shown the spirits of those that were slain for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. And unto all of them were given white raiment. To every one of them was given white raiment. In chapter 7, he's shown a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and people and kindreds and tongues. And he says to this one, who are these that are clothed in white raiment with palms in their hands? And this one answers finally, and he says, these are they that came out of great tribulation and washed their robes, their raiment, and made the blood of their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They're all clothed with white, but these robes and raiments are something that's put on, something that's added. And it says here, she says, my beloved is white. This is not his robe, but his robe was white too. We remember that coat that was without seam, woven from the top of that beautiful raiment, his life here on this earth. But this is his person, my beloved is white, intrinsically holy. My beloved is white. Our beloved is God, holy. And ruddy, this brings before us his manhood, reminds us that this one had become man. My beloved is ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. We understand that the word here in the Hebrew, we're given a word that gives a picture, and we're given a picture of a standard bearer bearing the standard. The standard bearer is picked out, of course, for his physique, that he'll stand out before those thousands of soldiers. Well, she says, the chiefest, the most outstanding, the most wondrous among the myriads, has been said. My old brethren who've known him among the myriads, he stands out above all. He said, is as the most fine gold. Of course, this brings before us his divinity. He is God. We know that he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And his locks are bushy and black as a raven. We turn again to Revelation chapter 1. We read there that his head and his hair were of white as snow, white like wool, as white as snow. But here, his locks are bushy and black as a raven. This he's brought before us in the Song of Songs as our beloved. It's in Psalm 110. We read there in the third verse that thou hast the dew of thy youth. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. It's our beloved that's brought before us here in this song. And his eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of water, washed with milk and fitly set. And it's said that a dove has eyes only for its mate. A gentle little bird has eyes for none other than his mate. And so his eyes are upon us, his love. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers, his lips like lilies dropping sweet smelling myrrh. Lovely picture we have of a beautiful garden, the sweetness and loveliness of our Lord Jesus. His hands are as the gold rings or gold bands. We understand the word means gold bands. Set with the beryl. I think it reminds us of John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. The strength of those hands that hold us. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we're so precious to himself. And his body is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. Ivory always speaks to us of resurrection. Ivory is always obtained by the death of an animal. That animal had to die before they got that tusk or just whatever it was that was used for ivory. And it brings before us our Lord in resurrection, living in the power of an endless life. Our beloved is always there for us. And then it is it's overlaid with sapphires. Of course, sapphires are blue, and they remind us again of his, where he is in heaven. And who he is. And his pillars, his legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. We see him in the gospel setting his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem. He has us in his heart. He knows that the only way he can have us is to go to Jerusalem, be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and rise again the third day. So his legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. Again we find the gold, the divinity of our Lord Jesus. We're to turn to the tabernacle. There we'd find the boards of the tabernacle. They're set upon sockets of silver, and we understand they speak to us of the church and of us. Silver always speaks of redemption, but his legs are set upon sockets of fine gold. no need for redemption. He is the one who provides redemption. He provided redemption for us. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. I believe it was a beautiful sight to look up to Lebanon with the snow and the cedars up there, a beautiful sight. And so his love takes this up and says that his countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth, or we understand here, it is his something deeper and inner than. In verse 13 we read, his lips were dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Often he spoke that he must go to Jerusalem, and then also he said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, he will draw all unto himself. But here it's something deeper, we understand. His mouth is most sweet. I think we can hear him speaking to us in chapter 2, if we just like to turn to just for a moment. Verse 14, we find our beloved speaking to his love. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. What a lovely word. How beloved speaking to us. In the clefts of, O my dove. Here he sees us as only having eyes for himself. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock. Remember that hymn, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. In the secret, and places in the authorizers in italic, in the secret of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. We're in the secret of the stairs. Stairs are used for going up, for going up. Also coming down, our beloved comes down, we go up. But he's inviting us to come up. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. We haven't any doubts of the love of our Lord Jesus. Well, it's written in the next verse, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes, they're for our beloved. And we don't want the foxes to come, those things that spoil his grapes. Turn back to our chapter 5 again for a minute or two. So she says, this is my beloved. This is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Love to see that next thing we see the daughters of Jerusalem wanting to know where her brother beloved was. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside that we may seek him with thee? They're wanting to seek him now. There's a time when Israel will come to and seek him. And there's others outside too that need him, need to know him as we know him. And wouldn't it be lovely if we're able to speak in a way that the hearts of those we speak to would be touched? Something of the loveliness, the beauty of our beloved. And so they're seeking him. And she says, my beloved has gone down into his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. She says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. You know, she was seeking him before when this portion started, but she found him. As she speaks about him, she found him. She found him dwelling in her heart. That's where he, our beloved, dwells, is in our heart. When I was a young believer, an old brother, served the Lord for something like 40 years, and then been with the Lord now, I think, about 30 years. And he was a great help to us. He was in our home, and we was in his home. And when I was quite young, believe, he says to me one time, "Stuart," he says, "do you love the Lord?" I've never been asked a question like that before, and I said, "Oh, I don't know. Sometimes I think I do, and sometimes I'm not so sure." He says, "Stuart, where are you looking?" And I said, "Oh, in my heart, I suppose." "Oh, Stuart, you're looking in the wrong place. We look up there, we see him there at God's right hand. We remember all he's done for us. Delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." That's what our beloved has done for us. We do love him, don't we? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But we don't look in our heart. It's the wrong place to look. We look up, we see him there at God's right hand. Again, we say, we remember all that he has done for us. And we do love him, don't we? May the Lord just bless what is of himself for his name's sake.